It seems crass to mention the money up front, but it's important. It may smack of privilege to you, but €75,000 represents the price some people put on their children's education. It also represents the chance for this private school to stay open during a recession. So, say you have €75,000 and you're thinking of boarding school for your son. How do you find out what it's like? If it's value for money? Well, try this. It's a Friday in February and the Cistercian College allows boys to test drive the idea of boarding school.
Today we're getting ready for as a day in the life of a boarder, where it's students from around the country that are mostly in sixth class get an opportunity to come and live where you learn just for one night. It's kind of like a stayover, really, to see and sample what is a typical day in the life of a student here at Cistercian College, Roscrea.
Have you any notion of what the school was going to be like before you came?
No.
Tell me what you think of it now that you've walked in the door.
It's big and it's kind of old, and there's rugby people playing outside on the pitch.
So are you nervous about tonight?
A bit, yeah.
Tell me what kind of things you're afraid of.
Like moving in and stuff and getting ready and stuff.
These sixth-class boys will stay overnight and tell their parents the next day what they think of boarding school.
I don't think of it as scary because of the boarding school. I just think it is kind of a bit scary because you're going into a new place.
Have you ever been away from home before?
I have. I'm actually in the Palestinian choir. I've been in Rome, sang for the Pope, Hungary, and I've just come back from London.
I'm curious about the boarding.
Yeah? Are you thinking it'd be like Harry Potter?
No, not really.
They and you are going to spend the next 24 hours in an Irish private boarding school.
Mr Kelly, will we go now and take them on a quick tour?
The sixth class sleepover boys are whisked off on a tour of the school by Mr Hennessy, Director of Admissions.
Will you show the students the wall garden and the nature trail?
Jack,
you need to bring your coat.
Can I get a kiss and a hug and a bar from both guys? Bye.
For the parents, though, a question. Why now? 50 years ago, there were boarding schools all over the country. Transport was difficult. There wasn't the same choice of good local schools. But a lot of that has changed. So why a boarding school?
You know, for lads who like knocking about around the house and maybe doing a bit of concreting and farming and thing, this, you know, focuses the mind and gets the homework done and all and things. So that's actually why. Along with that, Cistercian atmosphere is very good as well.
What is that? What's the Cistercian atmosphere?
The Cistercian atmosphere, it's got, all got to do with values and morals. And, you know, the points are fine. And we're not actually looking for points. You know, we're looking for, you know, that, as they say here, that this lad will come through the door a good adult.
Because we're four, I spend most of my time driving people into the car, running up and down the road, so the quality time that I spend with them is limited, because if you're dropping here, dropping there, back in to collect someone else, to go somewhere else. So I think when he's here, when I have him home, it'll be quality time. Okay. You know, it'll be, I'll be really, really making the best of that time. So I think it's actually, if you put across the amount of hours we spend together now and then the amount of time we spend together when he's here, the quality amount of time will be much better.
So you don't have any guilt about sort of farming him out to somebody else to rear him for the next couple of years?
No. And I think the main thing is that if Jack is happy, I mean, if Jack turns around tomorrow and says, I really, really don't like it and I really don't want to go, he won't be gone.
Sean is very much involved in this decision. So coming here tonight will give him a good view or idea of how it's going to be, I think.
So, you're 24 hours in an Irish boarding school. It begins a lot earlier than you'd expect. All schools use bells to mark the rhythm of the day, but in Cistercian College, as well as the school bell, they have the prayer bell from the monastery next door. And the first bell calling the monks to prayer is rung at 4 o'clock in the morning. Three and a half hours later, the first students shuffle into the refectory for breakfast. They may look sleepy and confused, but there is a hidden sense of purpose. They head for a table with the cereals on it. Three big aluminium basins, one with cornflakes, one with Rice Krispies, and one with the object of everyone's desire. Cocoa Pops.
This is just Cocoa Pops for people that wake up early.
Are you taking two bowls of Cocoa Pops?
Yeah.
Wow. So that's why they're all gone when the older guys get down.
What time do you wake up? What time does the bell go off for you to wake up? There's no bell. The housemaster usually comes in and says, right, lads, up around 7:30. But when you get used to it, you get up around 7:15 yourself and come down for breakfast.
Okay.
So that means you get toast or you get all the extra things early.
The housemaster is a staff member, not a teacher, who looks after the boys outside school hours, from 3 in the afternoon to 9 the following morning.
Lads, how did you sleep last night?
Grand.
You're all right?
Yeah.
The sixth class sleepover boys are having breakfast with the housemaster who was looking after them last night, Mr. Kelly.
The bursars didn't cause you too much hassle last night. Weren't running in checking to see how the new fellas were doing. No?
No.
Good stuff. It's different from at home?
Yeah, it is different. It takes a bit of getting used to.
I think it does. What does it take getting used to, Shane?
New friends sleeping in the room with you.
And how about you, Eamon? How'd you get on?
Fine.
Did you hear the bells? Did you hear the big bells in the morning?
No.
Did you not?
Yeah, I was going to sleep about 3:00.
You're joking me?
Yeah.
What were you thinking about until 3:00 in the morning?
Oh, I don't know. I was thinking of what we were going to do in the morning.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
And was it weird being in a different bed? Or?
It was a little bit uncomfortable, but I got used to it.
I'd say if you came here, they'd change the bed just for you. What do you reckon?
I wouldn't think so.
Talk to any of the students in the college and they have vivid memories of their first nights in first year.
Oh God, it was very tough, I thought, because I had to say goodbye to my mum and I hadn't really been used to, we'll say, being away from home. But to be honest, like, being with all the lads, we were all in the same boat. We were all together, like, and we all... And the school as well, the school is very helpful. It's like you're home from home, they really try their best. The housemasters were very helpful. I'd often had a night when I was crying, a housemaster just come in and comfort me, like, and... It was perfect, like.
Yeah. Would you want to go home? Would you say, look, I can't handle this, I want to go home?
Yeah, but they said stick it out, like, because I, to be honest, even in second year, I still found it tough, but after third year, I was so happy to be here.
So were you homesick at all?
Yeah, I was. Everyone was for a few weeks, but then after a while, you kind of get used to it, I suppose.
And what way were... How did you know that other people were homesick?
They'd tell you, and they'd be kind of crying and stuff, so I suppose...
Would they? Right. But would you ring home or what?
Yeah, you'd ring home every day, I suppose, if you needed it.
And would you say, bring me home, get me out of here?
Yeah.
Did you?
And then they'd take you home on a Saturday night and then eventually they kind of coax you with a few things and eventually you'd be okay then.
What do they coax you with?
Whatever, sweets and stuff. Keep you shut up, like.
Nice. And thinking back on it now, do you think they were right?
Yeah, I think it's a nice place now.
And if a fella started crying, would people give him a hard time?
No, you'd help them through. Because, like, yeah, if you're ever homesick or anything, there's all his friends to help you, kind of.
Right. And what was it like your first night?
Very bad. Right. Because I mean my parents.
Okay. What about yourself? How long are you here?
I'm only here a year. I'm first year.
Tell me about what your first night was like.
It was a bit fun.
Really, was it?
Yeah.
And were you not anxious at all?
No, I was anxious. It was nice to meet other people.
Now that's the kind of thing Mr. Hennessy likes to hear. That last boy was part of a welcoming group for the sixth class sleepover boys.
Hello, gentlemen, how are you? And I'll be relying on you.
And the school is relying on Mr. Hennessy. The recession hit private boarding schools badly and the numbers enrolling collapsed. Cistercian College needs at least 220 pupils to keep going. At the moment, they've less than 200. So Mr. Hennessy drives around the country talking to primary school boys about the Ross Cray boarding school. In the past, it might have been hard to sell a school that's in a 100-year-old grey stone building to a small boy. But then J.K. Rowling came along.
They're intrigued now since Harry Potter rejuvenated the boarding school concept. It brought it into a very fashionable era once again.
Mr. Hennessy's not precious. If the Edwardian building can sell the school out of crisis, so be it. The entrance hall could be out of the movies. It has faux Gothic arches, candles on long metal stands, and right in the centre, under a stained glass window...
The staircase, almost a replica, isn't it? In the movie Harry Potter.
This one moves, does it? Like,
well,
the
difference is our staircase does not move. It would be very worried.
And at the foot of the staircase, the school crest in mosaic on the tiled floor. It shows an eagle and the school motto in Latin. With the body dwelling on earth, the mind is in the heavens. Once breakfast is over, the whole school assembles in the chapel for reflection and prayer.
Integrity, honesty, being trustworthy. They are values no matter what wind that blows will never go. But when we build our lives on how much money or what we wear or how we look, they are things that can come and go. Let us now kneel and pray. The foolish have no oil in their lamps. They burn themselves out through a life of self-seeking and dedication to
Now, this is really impressive over here.
And then it's into class.
Potassium and anything that gives off a little orange flame might be...
The sixth class sleepover boys are being introduced to science by Miss O'Driscoll.
What does it remind you of?
Fireworks.
Fireworks. And those are the chemicals that put into fireworks. Here we go again.
Yeah.
Who wants to drop it in this time? Off you go, Sean. Now drop it in and stand back. What colours are the flames introduced there?
Violet.
We have a violet flame and we have a kind of an amber flame as well. We'll go one more time.
So, Mata Nismona, one syllable. Nismona, Shola, one. Bean Shay, Sadarbe.
Miss Nivrin, one of the Irish teachers.
Okay, so if we're a tree.
Although the school is all boys, there are plenty of women staff and teachers around the place. That said, Miss Nivrin and Miss O'Sullivan, the science teacher, did cause a bit of a stir lately. They're both footballers. And they, along with other female teachers who are also footballers, togged out to train for an upcoming staff-student game.
We were in the furthest pitch away from the boys as possible, trying to just have our little piece. And by the end of the half an hour, 45-minute training session, we had a bit of an audience. And then by the end of the next day, it's all they could talk about. Oh, you play football, you know, where are you going to play? You can't kick a ball, miss, or sure, I thought you'd be better. All this kind of crack. It was just a bit of banter. And it was,
we had been graded. Who had the best kick? Who had the best catch?
Who could keep the ball the longest? And they're still going to say, well, we're not that good, because they are, of course, better in their opinion.
This is a little bubble, and anything different, anything that goes on out of the norm.
Miss Nivrin has family connections with Cistercian College Ross Grey, and so knew what to expect before coming here to teach. For Miss O'Sullivan, it was a whole new world.
The first years coming in on the first day, I thought I could just imagine them not wanting to come here. But they, I suppose they'd all been here before, they had brothers here, and they were happy. Now, there was a bit of homesickness at the start, but nothing major, you know. And I just had a lot of expectations and maybe a few ideas that I was wrong about. And then I've had to learn, adapt to a new culture in a school.
What kind of things were you thinking about?
I suppose the biggest thing was that this is very much their home. They know every little thing that goes on in it and every little routine. And as a teacher, coming from a school of maybe 700, it takes them a long time to get an idea of you as a teacher. Whereas here, you teach your first class and they've spoken about it and they all know what you're about the next day. They all come in knowing the rules before you tell it to them, because I suppose you don't get that dilution when they go home that... there's other things going on. Here, they're going upstairs, they're going into their dorms and they're talking about what happened in school. The one thing I've noticed is the parents want to get to know you as a teacher. And maybe it's because you're spending so much time teaching their child from one week to the next, and they want to know, I suppose they want to know the person that's teaching their child.
I suppose one of the stereotypes of a boarding school is that kids are dumped in boarding schools by parents who are off living a high life abroad or working abroad for whatever reason. and that the kids are sadly neglected by their parents because they don't want to spend the time.
Yeah, and I suppose there definitely are parents who are working abroad in this school, and I think, you know, in recent years it's definitely changed where parents have had to leave the country in order to find work. And I'll be honest, I have, you know, every parent-teacher meeting, there's a parent from every family at the parent-teacher meeting, and if they can't make that meeting, you know, if it's a second-year parent-teacher meeting, they will do their very best to make the third-year parent-teacher meeting so they can still meet you. And there is definitely a huge open line of communication in this school between emails and phone calls. From my own experience anyways, I have never felt that lack of communication with the family. Okay, Ian took her fad, Billy, on wire.
The schedule here in Cistercian College Ross Grey is different. If you're a teenager, you're going to think it's cruel and unusual. They have school 6 days a week, and on weekdays, they have mandatory study until 10 o'clock at night. The boys can go home one weekend in every three. Parents can bring them out for lunch on Sundays. And families do drop in at odd times too. For example, Joe Walsh is outside the front of the school.
This was his first year here. He came in fifth year, yeah.
He was en route from Cork to Athlone and dropped in to say a quick hello to his son.
Tell me, why did you decide for him to come here?
For two reasons, really. One, he's a rugby fanatic and he loves sports. And our problem was that he was spending too much time in rugby and not getting the academic side of things. So we sent him, we want him to go to a place where he could play high standard of rugby. I think he'd also do well. And the fact that they have 4 hours study a night was very attractive, particularly post-Celtic Tiger and the rest. People have to do well now and get on in college and that's it. And that's why you can only give a kid an education. And we decided that we'd go for here as opposed to buying a new car.
Did you?
Yeah. Basically, we forego the new car and said, we'll educate our children, give them the best possible opportunity in life to get on and get out there, and also an opportunity to play very good sports.
And what about loneliness and you missing him and him missing you? And
we do miss him a lot. Well, I tell you what, it gives them great appreciation for their family, because we've a second guy we're ready to send here now, because they take you so much for granted when they're away. They actually realise the benefits of the home life. So you get a lot less rejection by your kid.
And you're driving a 0C Cork Merc.
Yeah.
What would you have got if he hadn't come here?
Maybe a 01 Cork Merc. I don't know.
Back inside the school, not everybody is in class. The sixth years are coming out of their mock exams.
It was all right. Didn't get enough that I wanted to get done, so.
Okay, was that just a question?
Just writing. It's okay. About timing.
You're at this, like, you've a few months left in the school now.
Yeah.
Which, for most people leaving school, they're obviously, you know, leaving friends and stuff like that, but you're leaving a place that you used to live as well. It's kind of odd, isn't it?
It is a bit odd. But yeah.
So are you worried about leaving, or?
I'm not worried. We might have become slightly institutionalised in the fact that we tend to have like strict guidelines on study.
We crave a timetable.
Yeah.
We can't work without a timetable.
We went home for the midterm there, and I was trying to study, but it's so hard at home.
It's absolutely impossible to study outside the school.
I don't know. It's a good
environment. You have to be in a study hall. You have to be surrounded by people studying.
Yeah.
And like when we're here, you study a lot and you study well, and then, you know, it's hard to kind of even study as well anywhere else. So, you know, the upsides are the academics, definitely.
And the downsides?
You can feel a bit restricted sometimes. But, I mean, when you get into, like, sixth year, and your main focus is study, there's not many downsides.
Now, good boy. I just want to play him. Are you okay, boys?
This is the refectory in the school, a large dining room. The pupils are queuing with trays for their food.
Oh, pork chop, please, and yes, please, and some applesauce.
What kind of dinners do you like here?
I like a chicken curry, beef stew. Yeah, there's a wide selection, really.
Is the food all right for you?
Yeah, it's really nice.
Is it better than home?
I don't know.
You're not going to say?
No. Thanks very much.
At the end of the queue, beside a box of post, is one of the housemasters, Mr. Hayes.
There's not a huge amount of posts, like with modern technology now. The boys all have phones and...
Even with all the new technology, it must be great to get a letter, though.
Oh, yeah, so did all come over. Any post today, sir? No, oh, says nobody loves me, you know. Birthdays or cards come for the birthdays would be the biggest.
Right.
And Valentine's Day, we had a lot of posts. A lot of posts on Valentine's
Day. You do not.
We did, yeah. And second years. Getting Valentine cards. This is a disgrace, I said. I never got a Valentine card when I was in second year. But times have changed. Times have changed. Third year.
What are the ways that they changed? Have the fellas changed?
They have a bit, yeah. They're more demanding now than they were before.
That,
but they have more, you see. About this and about that and my rights and, you know, I should get this and I should get that.
Are you okay, boys?
You're going through a fierce amount of food, aren't you?
We do, yeah. Let me see, about almost 1,000 meals per day, between all.
There are fewer than 200 pupils in the school, taught and looked after by over 70 adults. The boys address the men as Mr. and the women as Miss. So the catering manager is Miss Tehan.
Oh, there's a food committee, yes.
And a food committee?
Yeah. And there are 6 boys on that. And they're very vocal. They let me know what they like and what they don't like. They're not mad about fish. It's very difficult to get them to eat it. They love chicken. We could put chicken on every day. That's the main...
So what do you say to them? Look, you have to eat your fish.
No. We always facilitate every boy, no matter what. If he doesn't like what's on, he gets something else.
And when these fellas are sitting across from you at the committee and they're saying, I like this and I don't like that, do you feel like saying to them, I'm making 1,000 meals a day?
I feel like saying it, but I don't. It's my job. Right. It's our job. They're the customers. We have to look after these boys.
And do any of them say the food is nicer here than they get at home?
Oh, yeah, a lot of them would. Yeah.
The brats.
A lot of them. Yeah, well, they do, because parents are so busy now and they're travelling all over the world. I think family time is... People don't have time to sit down around the table anymore at home. They're coming and going and they're in one door, out another door.
So they're not actually getting these kind of dinners at home?
I think in a lot of houses they're not. Are you okay, lad? How are you?
Can I just get one of the chocolate sauce people?
Yeah, it's on the way now. Joseph? You all right?
The kitchen staff are just, they're like our second mammies here, and they're here for us all the time, you know, and they always listen to us and they say, you know, how's your day? On our birthdays, for nearly everyone, they bring out a birthday cake and there's everyone singing happy birthday, and they're literally like our second mothers here, and, you know, we'd probably go to them before we went to any of the staff.
Are you okay, boys? Ice cream only.
So the very first word we come across there is economics. Have you heard the word economics before?
The 6 class boys are in business class with the headmaster, Mr. Feehan.
Just a rough description of what you think economics is.
Money?
Yeah, effectively the money and the economy. The economy is...
The boys are visiting here on a sleepover to see what a day in the life of a boarding school is like.
There's a lot of talk in Ireland in the past few years about economics.
Les vacances de février, j'étais à Londres pendant toute la semaine. J'ai visité la ville avec ma famille.
Je suis sorti au Kilkenny et je suis travaillé en ferme.
D'accord, merci bien. Julien, vous aurez quelques expressions négatives, s'il vous plaît, des choses que vous n'avez pas faites pendant les vacances. 3 phrases, par exemple.
Much better. Make sure you keep the strength up.
Okay.
Both times it kind of weakened a little bit.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So try and just keep it right up there and make sure the articulation there is nice and tight.
Okay. So from the piano again?
Yeah.
The 6 class sleepover boys also get to see the 2 disciplines that the college prides itself on. Music.
So they're part of the tread group.
Go! Go, go, go! You're okay, go!
And sport.
Good line, good line.
The main sports being rugby and hurling. 2 hurlers are poking a slither about at the front of the college. They're waiting for a lift back home to play a club game.
Mr. Kavanagh, when did you come back?
Wednesday night.
Didn't see you at all. You're going again?
One of the housemasters, Mr. Ormond, is watching them.
2 useless lads from the same area.
What club is it?
Emeralds.
Kilkenny. Probably the worst hurling club in Kilkenny by all accounts. But
which is probably the best hurling club in the country then, isn't it? It's the worst in Kilkenny.
Mr. Ormond is from nearby Shinrone, deep in Offaly hurling country.
It'd
Any day. I must organise a match this year against you, actually.
It would actually be brilliant.
It would, because I'd love to give you a right good date and so would.
I'd love to see you come hurl for.
Which end of the stick do you hold in Shin Roan?
I'd hold it fairly lively.
I'd say to hold it like this because it gives a good slap.
I'd sort you out fairly quickly, so would.
Mr. Ormond has two important jobs this weekend: to supervise the Saturday afternoon study and to supervise the main weekend treat.
They all go to McDonald's on a Sunday evening.
Do they?
Yeah, for the McFlurries into town, yeah.
Oh, I see.
I bring them in on Sunday evening, yeah. No one ever gets burger or chips, they all just go in and get their McFlurries.
Should they have enough sweets here, don't they?
Oh, they do, yeah, but these McFlurries are serious, aren't they? They're serious business. I do have to ring a half an hour before we go in, tell them how many I'd have, and usually you'd be in 50, but lads would get, say, two or three for lads back here. I'd say I'd probably need about 120 McFlurries, and say, that's great, and they'd get them ready to start, get the machine going, they'd be all ready for.
And are they not melted by the time they get back in?
No, they'd be not at all. They'd eat them if they're on the ground, so they would. It's unbelievable.